Test. All right. This is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Sesti, on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works, Independent Community Radio. Okay, so today I got two good stories for you, and a bunch of stuff coming up, so I hope you'll keep listening and supporting independent media. Interviewed citizens for the Citizens Utility Board. Interviewed Bob Jenks of the Citizens Utility Board in Portland about modular nuclear reactors, and then an update on the rent strike coming to your town soon, we hope, because the rent strike is successful, and we need to stop people from hoarding houses, and housing is a right. And everyone should be housed in a world where there's plenty to go around. There's no reason for people to be unhoused in the 21st century. So we're hoping this is going to be a model for other cities to do rent strikes and to make sure that people have representation when they're being evicted from their homes for their health reasons and are not a criminal just because they don't have a house. So that's coming up here, and some fun music. So please support independent media and end the war. We're also two things: rooftop solar, as usual. I'm saying we don't need a centralized electricity at all. We have plenty of electricity bombarding the planet, and by that now we should be able to harness that, but we don't. So, yeah, rooftop solar, and end the war in Ukraine. Negotiate. There's no reason not to negotiate. This is a war for oil, ultimately, and a war for resources. It needs to end right away. War is not the answer. War is how the elite extract money from the economy, so we can't spend it on things like homeless people. All right, thanks for listening. Coming up, Bob Jenks from Citizens Utility Board and Candace King with an update on her successful, so far, rent strike. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. All right, so I'm talking to, it's Bob Jenks of the Citizens Utility Board. Mr. Jenks, what is the Citizens Utility Board?
Board is an advocate for utility customers, primarily residential utility customers. We work most at the Public Utility Commission, where the for-profit utilities like Pacific Power, Portland General Electric, Northwest Natural are always asking to raise rates and raise profits for their shareholders. We also represent customers in the Oregon legislature.
All right, and so what happened in Portland with modular nuclear reactors?
Right. What's happening right now, it's not just in Portland, it's around the state. Pacific Power, which serves a bit of Portland and then serves pockets throughout the state, including a wide variety around Wayne County, is looking at doing a series of small modular reactors off of a kind that Bill Gates has been promoting called TerraPower, that have molten salt in them to add storage to them so they can ramp up and down, unlike conventional nuclear power plants. And they put they put one in their IRP, in their resource plan, and then they expanded that and said they now agreed to build five of these things. To me, it's insane that not a single one's been produced. The fuel isn't being produced. There's no design that's been licensed. It's unsure how much it's going to cost. It's unsure how long it's going to take to build these things. And suddenly you got a utility talking about adding five of them to their system. It's just, it really is insane. Based on the experience this region's had with nuclear power and the failures of it in the past.
Well, so, but why, can you give me details on why they're having so much trouble with all the things that you listed? Why is that happening?
It's a lot of it is this: we haven't built nuclear power plants in this country for decades, with the exception of the one that I think was just completed in North Carolina this year that cost, I believe, about $30 billion when it was originally expected to cost of $1 or $2 billion. So you have massive cost overruns and at least a 10-year delay in that power plant. That's a conventional nuclear power plant. Now everyone's saying, well, we'll do new nukes, but we'll do a different design. But a different design means it's untested, it hasn't been licensed by the NRC, and nobody knows for sure how long it's going to take. Nobody sure knows how much it's going to cost. And a lot of these small reactors need a different kind of fuel, a kind of fuel called high assay low enriched uranium, HALEU. The only place that you can get that right now is from Russia. And so the Biden administration and the IRA put out funding to sort of come up with a source of that production of that nuclear fuel in the U.S. But that's now filing today is now delaying for 2 years the proposal to manufacture that fuel. So right now the fuel isn't available for a lot of these plants. Even if they could build the plant, even if they had a design that was licensed on down the line. So it's just, to me, it's highly speculative. I'll be honest, with climate change, we have to have non-emitting power. There may be a role for nuclear power. These new nukes may be part of that solution. But the question is, who should figure that out? Should it be done on the backs of customers, or should it be done by somebody else? If it's done on the backs of customers, should it be done in a region of the country where we have vast hydro resources and a lot of hydro capacity, which is not emitting? Or should it be done in a place like Colorado that's got to serve a winter load, doesn't have the same renewable basis, doesn't have the hydro resources we do, and will have a problem, it has a more challenging time. So my belief is here in the Northwest, we've got a good set of resources, solar, wind, hydro. We can sort of sit back and let the other parts of the country that need to solve some of these problems more than we do, let them take the risks, let them go forward and learn from what they do and slow down and not this overreaction, this desire to be first with things that nobody's ever done before is really a risky behavior on behalf of customers who are ultimately going to have to pick up the bill for this.
All right. Well, so two things. Elaborate on that, though. How is the taxpayer picking up the bill? You're saying the taxpayer is picking up the bill for basically their research and development. And what I also don't understand, though, is how does this go down? Are these utility companies going to the EWEB and the utility contractor and pitching nuclear reactors, or are the power utilities calling up the salesmen for these modular nuclear reactors and asking them to present to them? What is going on at the city council level or at the board, the utility board level?
Right. I can't tell you exactly what's happening at EWEB because I haven't been involved in those discussions. But generally what's happening is utilities are looking for ways to solve a problem of how do they serve power 24 hours a day with resources that don't emit carbon emissions, that don't contribute to climate change. Renewables are generally intermittent. They don't happen all the time. Battery storage is limited to the number of hours that you can put into a lithium-ion battery. There's more things coming down the road that will help solve some of those problems, but right now there's limitations on them, and utilities are used to sort of these dispatchable plants that they can really, really control up and down, and nukes give them some ability to do that. So it's an attractive, if you're somebody involved in sort of the supply side on the utility, it's kind of attractive to do this. If you're an investor-owned utility, a for-profit utility, you make money for your shareholders by making investments. And an investment that's in the billions of dollars is really, really exciting because the higher cost of the investment, the higher the profits for your shareholders. So for the for-profit utilities, nukes look really, really good for their shareholders. But it's a really risky thing for the ratepayer. Now, you asked about the subsidies and the risks. The federal government's talking about putting some money in from the federal budget to help develop a new line of nukes. And then the utilities that invest in these put their customers on the hook. The utilities get to pass their costs on through to customers, generally. And so if a utility is committing to doing something that's never been done before, they're committing their customers to pay for it. And that's where the real risk that we're concerned about is customers really shouldn't be venture capital. We shouldn't be doing these brand new ideas that nobody's ever done before. We should venture capital has a much different role in our society, and customers ought to be served with mature technology that we know works, that's low risk, and that's how we keep rates affordable for folks.
So the money can be spent better elsewhere.
Yes, the money can be spent better elsewhere. There's other ways we can meet our needs, at least for the next 10 years or so. In the future, again, other things will need to be developed, but let the states that have bigger challenges go first, like California go first, like Colorado go first, and we'll learn from what they did, and that's always, it's always better to let somebody else try something new before you go and do it. Though again, the engineers and the people in some of these planning departments, they get excited about being on the cutting edge and trying new things, but the problem is they're creating risk for their customers. And that's who we're concerned about. There's been a lot of inflation in utility bills in the last couple of years. There's a lot of customers who are struggling to pay their bills. We see thousands of customers shut off their utilities every month in Oregon because they can't afford to pay. And so we ought to be doing what we can to keep costs and risk down for the customer who has to live with the decisions made by their utility.
All right, and these modular nuclear reactors still have the same waste materials. They're just scalable and a little more digital controls in them. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. In Oregon right now, you can't build a nuclear power plant until there's a permanent waste storage facility. So there is a problem for utilities in Oregon is you can't build them here. You can build them out of state and import the power. But you can't actually build the plants themselves in Oregon under current law.
Well, and isn't there a plan to do that, ship the power, run the power over a line into state, get around the regulations?
That's what Pacific Power is looking to do, is to build these at the site of a closed closed coal plant in Wyoming and bring the energy to Oregon over power lines.
Couple more things. So limited liability, I noticed that a while back they limited the liability of nuclear power plants. It used to be unlimited. And my understanding is in law, once you limit the liability of something, then it continues to be limited more. And isn't the taxpayer on the hook if there is a disaster?
Ultimately, if there's a disaster, the taxpayers are on the hook for a lot of it. Some of these things have, I haven't looked at the insurance provisions of nukes since the Trojan closed. The Trojan nuclear power plant in Oregon was closed, and I used to know more about sort of the risk and liability of it. It may be something that is sort of insured, is done through a federal insurance fund, so there's money being contributed to it by nuclear power plants around the country. But ultimately, if there's a disaster, you can bet it's going to cost government a lot of money and therefore taxpayers.
Last question. There's plenty of alternatives. Myself, I'm looking at, I don't know if you've heard about this, you realize there's microbial fuel cells that you can actually, your sewage treatment plant would actually, the bacteria in the sewage treatment plant would actually produce electricity. So there's plenty of alternatives, isn't there?
Yeah, there's plenty of alternatives right now, and there's more being developed. All the time, there's new forms of batteries that have much longer lives and can store energy. There's a lot of money going into research and development in this stuff. The important thing is we ought to be paying attention to our emissions. We need to be reducing our emissions and trying to move and make rational, smart investments in clean technology that get us to drive our energy economy into a non-emitting system. But the more we take risk, the more we raise rates for things that don't work, the harder it is, the more we squeeze out other investments that are good investments that make sense for customers. Customers can only afford a certain amount of additional cost, and we should be putting that into clean technologies that drive down emissions as fast as possible in the long term. And that's really what we should focus on. And a lot of it is still the basic building blocks we've been talking about for decades, things like energy efficiency. Reducing demand for energy to begin with on the front end, solar, wind. A lot of this isn't sort of most of the technologies for a low carbon utility system exist today, and it's just a matter of making the investments in managing these things well.
All right, Bob Jenks of Citizens Utility Board. How do people support Citizens Utility Board?
They can go to, we are a membership-based organization, a statewide nonprofit in Oregon. They can go to our website, OregonCub.org, and find out lots of information for us, find out how to donate and contribute to support the work that we're doing. It's OregonCub.org.
All right. Thanks very much for your time.
On July 5th. Damn, I don't even know what day it is. July 5th, okay? And in that process, we had some minor successes, and everybody got really, we were already serious, but everybody who was here and our broader networks got really serious about what the upcoming changes or strategies could be. And so we decided that we weren't gonna give up, that the goal and the mission of this project and this resistance is clear, which is that house hoarding landlords, especially those who have not very much stake in the game because they've inherited the properties that they own, that they use then, as I've been calling them, their plantation of retirement cash cows to milk off of and exploit our labor to pay rents to them with no interest that they're paying, and basically we're covering all of the costs of the rental, and they're not utilizing any of that wealth that we're accumulating for them to improve our qualities of lives, and we have no power over that decision-making process. So that situation is clear and it is unchanged. Since then, so we've been evicted from the house and we're not allowed to live in there, so we're camping out in front of the house in the driveway. It's a kind of a specially configured property where I live on a lot with three houses, buildings, and four units total that are all owned by the same owner, Sharon Prager, and they're property managed by R&R Properties. I've been here 6 years. My neighbors have been here, 3 and 2 and I think 4 years, in their each individual units. The neighbor who had been here the shortest amount of time just moved out this week from their upstairs unit. They had complained that there were rats in their ceiling when we communicated with them about, what their potential concerns were about this place. And when we got consent from them to be here and stage this, because we are somewhat disruptive in their lives, they're not able to park in their parking spot. And there's always people around outside of their house. And, this is kind of scary when cops show up in force and riot gear and you got six sheriffs and 20 EPD and they're barking orders and you got people out protesting and talking to them. And so that day of the eviction was really hot. I was in the shower in the morning. And I get out of the shower and I get an alert from one of the community members here that they're here, it was time. And it was sucked because we were kind of, I know that they were watching us, they were waiting till we were at a weaker point for numbers of support, and it was early morning on a Wednesday or Friday or Thursday, it was Thursday. Was it Wednesday morning? Because the second was, or the fourth was a Tuesday, right? So it was a Wednesday morning. And then so that happened, and it was really shocking. I barely had time to get dressed. The kids were here. Everybody was thrown for a loop. And then the cops, with their riot gear, held us, basically, at the end of the driveway while the property manager did the deed of boarding up my house. And you know, was supposed to communicate with me in the way of maybe an hour later or so, me being able to go in and collect some of my belongings. And they had communicated with the sheriff that Officer Mays, Sheriff's, I think he's a Sergeant Mays, had, like, tried to cajole me into allowing him into my house without me to collect belongings for me, and I just wasn't going to capitulate to that. I don't care that much about stuff. I care about my family, and I care about our safety, and I care about not having cops in my house when I'm not there, and I'm not going to submit to any kind of searches. So the property manager, they drained our pool that we had just built and not even swam in yet, and they rushed in there, they boarded up all my windows, they changed the locks, they left, you know, who, God knows, who knows what, all over just where it was, and we proceeded to build a resistance and fight. And so that's where we are today. We have been building onto that. We've had people constantly, 24 hours a day, watching the stoop, building up our defenses, building up this camp. We have people camping out. We've had folks coming in from from all over Oregon. We've had folks coming in from all over Oregon to support us and stay in our protest camp with us, and give us food and send us food. And every neighbor that's walked by that's asked one question about this whole process has been supportive in the end when they walk away, and now they wave, they throw their fists up, they drive by slow and throw their fists up. We've had unhoused neighbors bring things. These people don't have anything, and they're bringing us stuff because they support this. Because what it really is about is we're all stuck here at the mercy of these people who've had generation after generation of their family benefit off the wealth of that they have accumulated off of colonialism, off of the original crime of America, which is the land that was stolen under false pretenses from people who were the stewards of it, and then sequestered like English, what would we call it, enclosure, right? Like, it was basically like British enclosure, except more vile, more violent, and de facto just lying, you know? So now I'm saying that the whole point of this is how many generations of her family can continue to extract wealth. She's the last living member, as far as I can tell, which is sad or whatever for her. But for me, what it means is that she doesn't really have anything to lose, Sharon, that is, by doing this and by working with us to make sure that this property can transfer hands into the community that actually lives here, that cares about it, that supports each other, that we can do something really cool and great. And she's the person preventing that from happening. And then she's making me into a criminal and making my kids really uncomfortable and in a precarious position, ruining their summer, although this is kind of a great thing. I mean, our community here is awesome, and we're having wonderful days every day, and we have things to celebrate, enjoy, and be grateful about. But ultimately, like, Sharon has no... It's a win-win-win situation if she sells us the land. And if she had sold me the land before, or sell it to me now, either way, or us the land in a community land trust, it's all win for her. She gets the money. No more hassling with me. I know I'm a big pain in the butt. Okay? And she gets to do something cool and revolutionary and awesome for this community that she does not live in. And all Sharon can say is, this is not how you change the policy. This is not how you change the state of things. And she wants policy to tell her to do the right thing, and I think that she's got it backwards.
Well, and things are not changing. So what did they take out of here in the truck?
Oh, the police truck?
Yeah.
They didn't take anything out in the truck.
Right, and then
They brought fences, and one of those guys quit his job.
So, yeah, I saw them take the fences away, so they never put the fences up. Is that right?
No, they had fences. They just didn't really do a good job. I don't know. I mean, there's fences. You can go back and look at it. There's fences, and they're keeping me from my home.
All right, and so do you have electricity and water?
Out here, yeah, because of the kindness of people around us and the neighbors and the community, and are not going to prevent us from having water.
Oh, so they shut off your water and power?
I wouldn't know that. I don't live in my house right now. I live outside of my house.
All right, well, so the faucet outside?
It's criminal trespass to go and use anything on that property or any of the amenities. And we're not here to commit crimes. We're here to commit revolutionary acts of awesomeness.
All right, and so tell me, there's an update on the community land trust.
yeah, we're building a board of people of support, and we're going to own this place together as a community of tenants and owners, and we're going to kick ass. Like, and then we're going to build places for families, and that's been the goal the whole time. Sharon believes she provides affordable housing, but she wastes a lot of space and doesn't provide enough.
And she would actually be paid close to market value for the house.
Well, we'll see how that turns out.
Okay, and right, so,
I don't know. She might not get anything.
What about the fire marshal?
The fire marshal came through. We believe that they were called by the property management company as a tactic to try to, like, pressure us to leave or make it too hard. But they should know better than that right now, by now. Like, we're awesome. There's enough people here that can do the work and work together well that, like, all they had to do was tell us what we needed to do to be in compliance, which was create a 14-foot clearance. Should be 16, but the original clearance for the driveway is only 14 feet anyways. So, and that's so they can get through with hoses if they need to, if there's a fire.
All right, you're trying to wrap it up, but you want to give me one more of
thing is, the property manager is gross, because they have tried to intimidate my neighbors, who have been kind and supportive and open to us, and we've, you know, in turn, also supported them and their needs and been kind and friendly and caring. And they're trying to, and they both of my neighbors that are still left got 30 with 15 notices, which just means they have 15 days to cure a problem and 30 days to get out. So now they have until August 1st to make sure that we, the illegal campers who are their guests, they've assumed, are all gone. And the thing is, they never said that we were their guests. In fact, they didn't say that. And Charlie had texted them, the property mangler, but we're calling her the property mangler in the gospel of Possum Kingdom, had texted them, well, if you're not answering me or giving me a clear answer, then I'm going to just assume that they're your guests. And she can't do that. I mean, she can make that assumption, but the assumptions can always be wrong. You know what they say about when you assume. It makes an ass out of you and me. So the point is, she's made that assumption, and then she's now penalizing them based off of the idea that we have somehow... are their guests, and that we're disturbing the peace, which is the fucking quite the opposite. The neighborhood loves us. We're keeping the peace. We've stopped fights. We've Narcan people out here because there's 24 hours a day somebody is out here watching, and we're actually able to do stuff for the community at large.
All right, so give me again, though, why should Sharon...
Because she doesn't live here. She has no stakes in this community, and I wouldn't want the pain in the ass of having tenants. The margins aren't that good on being a landlord. They always complain about, right? And so why continue to do it? Her margins are excellent because she didn't have any mortgages or any debt to pay. But I'll tell you what, right now it's costing her money, and you cannot rely. And if you look at any of the landlords on YouTube or whatever, if you tell a landlord who's experienced that the tenants are going to pay all the bills into perpetuity, then you know that that person is naive. Because that person is not taking into account the fact that people have disasters. People lose their husbands, like me, or people get cancer, they go to jail, their friggin' kids get sick, or they lose their job, or a pandemic happens, and all of those things would prevent you from being able to rely on extracting what is essentially a tax off of people who are just working and trying to live for the shelter that they need to survive and that they're required to have to survive and to be legitimate members of the community. And Sharon is like somehow believes that she is entitled to existing in the space of having power over our situation with shelter. She doesn't know us. She doesn't see us. She doesn't come here. Take the money and run, chick. You know?
And you're going to do something for the community here.
We're going to do awesome stuff with the community. Not I'm going to do something for the community. We're going to do it. Sharon, you suck. And her friend Bob? Whoa. Wow, Bob. Get a job, Bob. Quit being beer drunk and yelling at girls in San Mateo, Bob.
All right, so I'm going to wrap it up. So what do you want? What do you want me to use for that other story? 1937?
Yeah, I'll give you the Ferry Street Village scene. Ferry Street Village. That talks about the story of the first black couple who lived here legally.
Yes.
In town. All yeah. Right. So we have that in a zine, and you can have a copy of it.
Thank you. with the high blood. Don't ask me why. We celebrate anticipating end of the year. Everybody come. Yeah, everybody here. We're more or less some already in a mess. I guess they're waiting for the big one. Wonder why I'm coming. How did I get this far? I had no money. I had no car. I pulled the snows.
Thank you. you. Evening. Or, ain't that peculiar?
Thank you. All the strange things, they come and go as early warnings. Stranded starfish have no place to hide.
We'll be right back. Stop paying rent! Stop paying rent!
Stay landlords!
And landlords!
Brought to you by Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Built on the site where an actual ancient rainforest once stood, see a full-scale replica of a Douglas fir tree. See pictures of trees larger in diameter than a man is tall. Trout and salmon that once choked the rivers of the Northwest will sing to you in our chamber of taxidermy. Hear the disaffected sounds of Feller Buncher and his bunch of fellers, an all-ex-logger band, in our simulated wood amphitheater. Take the Oregon Desert Highway to the clear-cut road exit, turn right at the stump in the road, and you're at Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Free parking, kids a buck and a half, closed during summer months due to melting asphalt, giant locusts, and methyl ethyl hydroxy colchicine slag emissions.
There's a scourge threatening the airwaves right now. I'm talking about that earworm wrangler and rhyme criminal, Justin Bieber. I don't care if he gets his coke from Columbia, his product from Pennsylvania. He should be arrested just for rhyming holy with hold me. His music is vapid. His lyrics are trite. Now don't kill Justin Bieber. Cutting his hair will only slow him down. If you want to stop Justin Bieber and others like him, go to kepw.org and become a sustaining member, or just send a couple of dollars. We're all volunteers, so you get more bang for your buck. Go to kepw.org and stop inane music today.
Brought to you by Gluteus Maximus X Concranium. Do you still think women and people of color are inferior? Do you think corporations care about people and the environment? Do you think George Bush doesn't know the lyrics to the Horse Vessel song? You may be suffering from terminal ignorance. Made from 100% Amanita mushrooms, Gluteus Maximus X Concranium actually removes the brain plaque associated with terminal ignorance. Pick up some today before it's too late. Side effects are compassion, forgiveness, and hysterical laughter.